gracious Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his in this great and blessed and full of mercies and rahmas and full of forgiveness with regards to this month, he stated, wa idha salamu ramadan salamatu sana, that a big piece of good news and regards to the greatness and the blessings of this month, the Holy Prophet has made it clear. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam's message is this, that somehow you should try with determination and put yourself together that these 30 days, wa idha salimu ramadan, what does salimu mean? That you will attain salamat, prosperity. With what? How does a person get salamat? How does he come into safety and protection? When Allah Ta'ala is pleased. When Allah Ta'ala is happy and pleased with his servant, then that person attains salamat. In other words, that he gets the good news of paradise and he is then free from hellfire, that person. Radiallahu anhu. Allah Ta'ala says that I'm happy with that person. So Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying that try with determination, with courage. Allah has given a great reward. Maybe we will not get this again in our lives. So understand what this gift is that Allah Ta'ala has given. This month, the month of safety and where we can get safeguarded and protected. In other words, such actions, do such amal, some actions through which Allah Ta'ala becomes happy with you, pleased with you. So that's why I stated that in this month, the human being, all of his other things that he's busy with, he should reduce them. These are 30 days, but don't look at 30 days. Look, Allah has given the guarantee of the whole life. Maud is going to come. And Allah Ta'ala has given us such a thing in our destiny, Ramadan. For example, if we say to a person that go 3 hours, go into the bank for 3 hours, as much money as you can take out, take it. And 3 months, 3 hours, he'll go in there and he'll take as much as he can, because he's got ijazah 2 hours or 3 hours, because he knows the mal is coming. Same way, those who have value and they realize with regards to the hereafter, they know the adab, the thawab and the punishment. And we know our weakness. It's very difficult for us. So Allah Ta'ala, for us such weak people, He's given us a great opportunity, a big opportunity. If you can't do good things all year long, then at least these 30 days, do this much. How much? Allah's grace, His mercy. Allah says that 30 days, do this. That do that amal, do that practice through which Allah Ta'ala will be happy with you. Yes? Now, what we do is in Ramadan, we just go after one thing, that we're going to eat in the morning and break the fast in the evening. That's just one amal. Allah Ta'ala has given us ibadah through which all actions come into it. So, all those amal that Allah Ta'ala has given to us, through which Allah Ta'ala is happy, we need to pay attention to those things. Yes, pay attention to those amal through which Allah Ta'ala becomes happy. How does Allah Ta'ala become happy? Those things that Allah Ta'ala orders, do those actions. And those things Allah Ta'ala tells us to refrain from, we should put the brakes on. That's it. So what Allah Ta'ala tells us to do, do. What He tells us not to do, don't do. Allah Ta'ala gives hukam, pray five times salah. Doesn't matter what happens, but in Ramadan, definitely pray. Don't see, I used to not pray before. Forget about before. Hear the good news. Fantastic good news. Just start doing the work. Hasten and run towards the congregation. Whatever is the high grade practice, do that. And for that, reduce your worldly necessities, because the 30 days will pass. But what is happening is you are making a schedule for the rest of your life. Allah Ta'ala says, pray salah. Allah says, stop going towards bad things, sins. Control your tongue, control your eyesight, your gaze, save yourself from backbiting, save yourself from argument, disputation, anger, haram things, unlawful things in Ramadan become totally different. And try that I have to do this, and we'll see afterwards what happens. So he stated, Allah says, whoever, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, whoever has done good things in Ramadan through which Allah becomes happy with you, subhanAllah, then what's the reward? What a great piece of news is being given to that person. What a great piece of news that Allah Ta'ala says that he will go pass through Ramadan safely and peacefully, and then the rest of the year Allah will pass your time in the same way, safely, protected, at peace, content. Those actions that we do in Ramadan, the rest of the year Allah Ta'ala will pass us through like it was Ramadan. Hazrat Mujaddad al-Afthani rahmatullah alayhi has written in his maktubat with regards to this hadith that a great point Allah has taught us here. A great point Allah has taught us here, that the practice that we do now in Ramadan, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, inshallah, the rest of the year will give us the tawfiq to practice it as well. Good deeds and to refrain from bad deeds. If you start the hajjud in Ramadan, during Ramadan, okay, I'll pray in Ramadan, inshallah, in the light of this hadith and the benefit of this hadith, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will continue to give you the enjoyment of the hajjud. You will continue that. So don't leave it. How many days? 15 days have passed, almost, isn't it? So we have an opportunity, get the habit now. It's stated that the habit that we bring into our life now during Ramadan, then Allah Ta'ala, the habit, He will allow us to continue that for the rest of the year, until 1 year. And the reality is that, forget a year, after a year, then Ramadan will come again, then you'll repeat again, then the year. In other words, this is the guarantee for your life that Allah will transform your life. The human being will continue with salamat and prosperity and well-being throughout the rest of his life. So this is the method, what we have to do in Ramadan. Good deeds, select them, start doing them. So that Allah Ta'ala will then enable us to continue. Make a list. I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this. Even if it's a small quantity, a little bit of recitation, a little bit of this, a little bit of that, a little bit of nafal. Whatever, alhamdulillah, you do now, whatever seed you sow now in Ramadan, Allah's promise, I will continue. I'll give you the tawfiq to continue that for the rest of the year. And wrong action, sins, where does a person leave sins? If a person wants to leave his sins, and let's say he swears a lot. Lots of people, every statement they swear. Yes? If not in Urdu, it's in English, on the tip of the tongues of the children, the swearing. So if in this month we control our tongues, then inshallah with the barakah of this action of Ramadan, the rest of the year you'll be safe from that swearing. Using your eyes in the wrong way. We can't control our gaze. Looking at the wrong things, wrong people. But Allah's promise, Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam promise, that if in this month, control your eyes, don't look at dirty things, don't look at your phone screens, don't look at wrong things, don't look at pictures, don't look at immodesty. If you continue, then the barakah will finish of Ramadan. So it's a great opportunity, Ramadan, that put the brakes on everything that's wrong. Don't lose heart, don't lose courage. You don't have the courage to follow the sunnah. Then practice the sunnah in this month. Keep the beard during Ramadan. I've kept the beard for the sake of Ramadan. Okay, just have it for that intention. Because the beard, how long do we have to keep it? It's a 1 fist long beard is Sharia requirement. Less than 1 fist long is not a beard. You can call it fashion, you can call it shape up, whatever you want to call it. But it's not the Sharia length beard. The Sharia length minimum beard is 1 fist length. From the bottom of the chin, it has to be 1 fist length minimum. If it's longer than that, you can trim if you want. But not less than a fist length. Anyone who's got a beard less than a fist is not the beard in Islam, and there's severe punishment for that. There's punishment because it's a sin to trim or cut the beard less than a fist. And there's a big punishment for trimming the beard less than a fist. One punishment is that Allah's Prophet ﷺ will not intercede for those people. This hadith. We're going to go into the grave, aren't we? Won't we be questioned in the grave? The who is your Rasul? Man Rasulukum will be asked in the grave. And some places written, the Holy Prophet himself will come in the grave and give his ziyara in the grave to that person. The person who doesn't have the beard, he won't be questioned. And they'll say, what's the point of questioning him? His face isn't like that. His brain isn't correct. Directly send him onwards. So what a great opportunity Allah Ta'ala is giving to us in Ramadan. Save yourself from this sin. But in the morning, we're not doing it. we're not eating in the morning, we're not eating in the evening, but we're trimming or shaving the beard. In the hadith, it states that person who does the action, that sin, he's just keeping himself hungry. He's keeping himself thirsty. He's not getting no benefit from the fast because he's disobeying Allah. So such mustanid, repetitive variety of hadith, Rasulullah has said that this is a sin, this is the azab. Himself, he is instructed. But a person doesn't follow this instruction, that's when he's obeying his desires. Somebody keeps the beard, you keep it a millimeter or a few millimeters or a little bit. Keep it as long as the minimum requirement. The Holy Prophet ﷺ has given us the hukam. The Sharia order is minimum one fist length of beard. So those who it's hard for them to keep the beard during the year, then start keeping the beard from Ramadan. When you eliminate the sin, then your fast will be correct. So at least with this intention, keep the beard, that I want to correct my fast. Otherwise without that, I can't have the fast. 30 days practice it, then at least I'll get the fast will be complete. At least my fast will be complete if I keep the beard. So then measure it, measure. Look, with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when a person is practicing deen, then you have to do weights and checks and measures. Not that, oh, zakat, I'll give less. The percentage that's been ordained, you have to give that much. Yes, whatever the minimum requirement is, Allah Ta'ala has defined. So the beard, you can't keep the beard length the way you feel like it. You have to keep the beard length, which is the instruction in the Quran, in the hadith, and this sin. If a person's sinning, how can he keep the fast? So many hadith on this subject. There are some people in the morning, they eat the suhoor, they don't eat during the day, they're just staying hungry and thirsty. There's no benefit of their fast if they're going to do this sin. So crush your desires. Rasulullah has instructed us. وَإِذَا سَلَمَ رَمَضَانَ. If you want to pass your Ramadan according to Allah's desire and happiness, if there's sisters without parda, no haya, no modesty, music, singing, we're saying we're fasting. There's the fast of the eye, the nose, the hand, the body, every organ, part, limb of the body has to fast correctly. So this month Allah Ta'ala has given to us, this month is the month of leaving the sins. It's not the changes in eating times. Ramadan, Allah Ta'ala doesn't want to give us pain and distress of not eating and drinking. That's not the meaning of this month. The greatest worship of Ramadan. Tell me, what is it? The greatest worship, ibadah, is that which gives Allah Ta'ala's pleasure. Yeah? Is that which gives Allah Ta'ala's pleasure. So Allah Ta'ala is most happy when a person leaves the sins. That's when a person gets Allah Ta'ala's pleasure. If we just stay in staying hungry and thirsty, then we are falling into the trap of shaitan. Think, use your brains and your aqal and the wisdom Allah Ta'ala has given to us. That what are we doing? Allah is ordering us something else and we're doing something else. We have made fasts in this, that we follow our desires. That in the beginning of the fast in Ramadan, Allah Ta'ala said, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu kutiba alaykum as-siyamu kama kutiba alladhina min qablikum. Just like the previous nations, min qablikum. Why? The previous nations and you have been given the same, and there was an objective of giving Ramadan. That I want you to implement an ibadah. Allah says, La'allakum tattaqoon. That I want you to practice in such a way so you leave the disobedience to Allah. I've made you keep the fast for this reason, so that when you keep the fast, then definitely there's a condition of the fast. Don't lie, don't backbite, don't shave the beard, don't cut the beard, don't consume haram, don't look at bad things. These are the conditions. When you do these things, then the fast is made. Fasting is the definition of when you commit these good actions and leave the bad actions. That's the fast. Fast isn't just one thing. Yes, all of these things, when you bring them together, when you do this, then you could say that you are the fasting person. Isn't it, brothers? So, Allah Ta'ala has given you fast for this reason, that when you fast, then obviously you don't lie, you won't commit the sins, you have to pray salah, you have to pray tarawih, you have to recite the Quran. Obviously you have to do these things, because you have kept the fast, to complete the fast. So Allah says, for this reason, if you do in this way and you keep the fast, then you follow all the conditions I've set, then all of these things come together, gather together, and it will become a fantastic ibadah action of yours. That's why I've given this to you. Allah says, then Ramadan, I've made you practice. So what does this mean? The whole year, Allah Ta'ala says, that I give you the tawfiq of this amal for the rest of the year. So to be saved from the sins. If you want to be saved from a sin, you can't leave that sin, then what you should do is start leaving that sin in Ramadan. Okay, it's due to Ramadan. For Ramadan's sake, I do this. Even if I'm not going to leave it afterwards, at least if you make this niyat, then you are making your fast correct. So brothers, don't waste your fast, you'll waste Ramadan. Such a great hadith. That most of all, that biggest loser is that person who came into Ramadan and he could not save himself from the fire of Jahannam. He's the same. All he's done is left the food and drink and he celebrates Eid after Ramadan. My friends, there should be the compensation after Ramadan, the celebration of achieving Ramadan. Do such amal and rightful actions. Beautiful deeds, beautiful actions. Allah's Nabi has also told us an amal himself, and he's praised that amal, that action. Alhamdulillah, is such an action in Ramadan. Allah's Nabi has told us that this amal is with deep qualities, special qualities. Shall I share that amal with you, that action with you? Yes, no one said yes, nobody said no. Do you want to hear? Do you want me to share this action with you? What is that action? What is the definition of the action? Firstly, that action, the condition, Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is recommending this amal to us in Ramadan. Recommended deed by the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam himself. Lengthy hadith. At the end of it, he recommended that be careful, be cautious, that whatever you need, you will get through doing this amal. Because what's in this amal, in this action? First and foremost, is that we commit sins all year long, and our soul is dead at this moment in time. Totally weak and frail. And Rasulullah said, if you do this action, then your ruh, your soul, inner self, will become refreshed and alive. When it becomes alive, then you'll continue doing different actions, then you'll become strong, your ruh, your soul. And then the ruh gives you strength to do amal. When your ruh will become strong and refreshed, then you'll have so much strength that nafs and shaitan, then your ruh will do a great and solid contest with nafs and shaitan. The result of that contest of your ruh against nafs and shaitan is then you will not commit the sins. The nafs won't drag you towards sin, and shaitan won't drug you towards sin. And the shaitan and nafs won't make you do sin easily, because your ruh will be strong, so you'll be protected. When we commit sins, we can't save ourselves, because our ruh is weak. So this amal that Rasulullah is recommending, is it strengthens the ruh, the soul. And it makes you capable to stand up and fight. Because when you sit down and give up, say, oh, it's too hard, I can't leave alcohol, I can't leave the sins, I can't leave swearing, I keep fighting and quarreling, and I do facade and wrong actions, I can't help it. This is weakness of what? Because of our ruh, our inner state is weak. So Rasulullah has given us a tonic. The amal I'm telling to you, I'm prescribing to you, if you do it during Ramadan, then the rest of the year you'll do it. And what is the amal? The ruh, it will take strength. And the strength of the ruh is so brilliant, my brothers. A strong ruh in a state of a man, nafs and shaitan can never fight them. If you don't have strength, then shaitan will attack you from all directions, but you'll become strong. He won't be able to attack you. And then with that same amal, when you become stronger, then our objective of the human being is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's connection and relationship with that person will become stronger, mazboot. Subhanallah, lakum tattaqoon, he'll become the taqwa person. One amal, one action. And definitely Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, do this action in Ramadan. Definitely do this action during Ramadan. What is the amal? What is the action? I don't know if we've started it or not. That amal, definitely do it, don't waste it, said Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Because this amal is so great. What is the amal? Rasulullah said, dhikrullah, the remembrance of Allah. Dhikrullah. Pick up the books, read the hadith of Ramadan. This is contained, included. The Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, if you want to attain لَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ, you want to attain taqwa, the end of this hadith, the conclusion of the hadith, that the objective Allah has given you Ramadan, if you want to please Allah, and this Ramadan, definitely you want to make it the real Ramadan, then what should we do? Do dhikrullah kathir, high quantity. As Umar radiallahu anhu stated in a hadith, what a great statement. That the people who do dhikr, they are such that they are forgiven beyond forgiven in Ramadan. That they won't be asked, they'll be forgiven. Subhanallah. That's how great is an action, dhikrullah. And then that amal, Allah Ta'ala's Nabi Sallallahu is recommending us, so that the rest of the year we can continue to do this amal. We'll become habitual, isn't it? During Ramadan you get used to it. So today, if by force, If you're pushed, or if, for example, due to some reason, you start doing dhikr, but look how sad it is that right now we have this majlis. with the fadl of Allah's grace, His mercy, with the du'as of our pious predecessors, this majlis, every day we have this majlis. Every day we host this majlis. We have this assembly. Every day such a great treasure Allah Ta'ala gives to us, bestows to us, but we are not in that gathering. That so weak is our iman. Tell me, we've kept a fast. And the amal that Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is telling us is such a great action. One companion came once, and he came to the Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He said, "Oh, Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam," Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, "Yes." He said, the companion, that, "Can you tell me an action? Please prescribe me an action, but it should be such an action that look, the Sahaba Ikram's style of asking, because whatever they asked for, they attained it, they received it, was they had yaqeen they would get it." So this hadith, I'm sharing with you in Jami'a Rasul, this hadith is narrated. He stated, this Sahabi companion, that, "O Prophet of Allah, please prescribe me an action and give me such an action that it is very azim and great in the eyes of Allah." What a great request of this Sahabi, eh? That he said, "O Prophet of Allah, please prescribe to me an amal that is greatest in the eyes of Allah. And there's no greater deed than that." And on top of that, he said that we're going to die, aren't we? And we're going to go on the Day of Judgment. And he said that on the Day of Judgment, due to that action, prescribe me that action which will give me the highest status from compared to all the other deeds. This hadith in Jami'a Rasul, pick it up and read it. The Sahabi is asking for this action, and in reality he was asking for us people today. Today, what did he ask? That, "Tell me such a deed, O Rasulullah, the greatest deed in the eyes of our Lord Allah. And have you done it in the day?" Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say that this is the greatest deed closest to me. Such an amal. If you do it every day, then every day you'll get that reward. That is the greatest deed in the eyes of your Lord. Yes? So close, greatest in the eyes of your Lord. And that when we arrive to the Day of Judgment, what will be my hal? O Prophet of Allah, that due to me doing that deed, that I'll get the highest status ibadah. The highest status ibadah. Then imagine what will be the thawab of that deed. Tell me. So he said, "Oh Rasulullah, I just need that deed." Rasulullah said, "Fine. You want both things?" He said, "Yes." He said, "Do the dhikr of Allah." Subhanallah. Prescription accepted. So do we do this? Do we do this action? Morning and evening we have this majlis. We don't do dhikr. We don't. Shaitan doesn't let us come. He doesn't let us sit. Tell me, what a big loss of life. Person's wasting his life. One majlis of dhikr by missing it. And there's no condition. Precondition. Is there any condition? All it said is, let's just do dhikr Allah. Just do dhikr Allah. Dhikr is such an action that everything else you want, you will attain via dhikr Allah. Because dhikr Allah, it revives your ruh, your soul. Your soul will get strength. Your soul will become alive. And your sins will be finished. Allahu Akbar. And you'll attain Allah's qurb, the nearness to Allah. Tell me, what else do you need in life? From dhikr Allah, you'll get this. Like we're sat here, alhamdulillah, all of these things we'll get by sitting here in dhikrullah. All your sins will be washed away. And then in Ramadan, imagine, Ramadan specially stated that if you want to earn Ramadan, don't leave this amal of dhikrullah. Another hadith, listen to another hadith. A companion came, radiallahu anhu, he had the same question. Same type of question. This is a hadith in Tirmidhi. He said, "O Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam," and he also asked this question in a unique way. And for us, he made it so easy by asking this question. Subhanallah. It totally looked like this man is from this day and age. This companion, radiallahu anhu, the way he was asking, it just looks like the style of that. If you read this hadith, look like that he is a man from this day and age, this era, not from that blessed generation. Subhanallah. Extremely weak. Just like today we are weak, extremely weak. And the Sahaba, that was the era, the generation of the Sahaba, the noble community. You know how, mashallah, they were great people. So Allah Ta'ala created such a man from the Sahaba so that he could ask for us, so that we could succeed. He said, "Oh, Prophet of Allah," and first he explained his situation. What was that? He said that, "I am extremely weak. And you've given us such great actions, do this, do that, do this, do that. But straightforward, honestly, I don't have the strength to do this." He said that, "I'm very busy, occupied. Extremely, I can't do these things." Say, Subhanallah. Yes, we all like this, aren't we? No, no, it's too hard. I can't do this. No, I can't do these actions. I can't do this action. So he also said, oh, Prophet of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there's such great amal you told us to do in our life, but I don't have the capacity to do these. I'm not capable. I don't have the strength that I can do all these amal. The companion said this, but I don't want to leave them either. I don't want to leave them. Secondly, he said that, oh, Prophet of Allah, I'm also weak. I forget things, subhanallah. Subhanallah. All the things, the qualities that we have, he said, I'm weak. I stay ill, unwell, I'm old maybe, or other things are attached to me. I can't remember things. So it's not that I, tell me lengthy kalamat. I won't be able to do that. I don't have the courage, I don't have the strength, and nor can I remember lengthy formulas, lengthy tasbihat, lengthy recitations. I can't remember these things. Aren't we like this today or not? Tell me. Yes, that look how busy we are in our life. We're so occupied with things. We're filled with being busy in our life. But here also Allah Ta'ala said, okay, no problem. I'll just give you the blanks. Just fill them in. I'll tell you how to fill them in. Such a great request that despite all of these things, he said, I can't practice physically and my brain doesn't have the capacity that I can remember lengthy recitation and I don't need lengthy thing. But one thing, yes, he said. He said, I am a strong worker. I make effort. I will regularly do what you tell me. I'll regularly do that. Subhanallah. Steadfast. So three things he said. He said, fine, I'm physically weak. You can't do too much actions. You don't have the strength. And your brain is weak. You can't remember. But one condition that you, whatever you do, you'll do it regularly. Even though it'll be less, but you'll do it regularly. It won't be hard. But regularly. He said, but Rasulullah said, I'll do it regularly. So what did he do? He asked for such an amal that all the amal Allah Ta'ala has given, tahajjud, this, that, ABC, the thawab, he's asking for such an amal that is so simple to do physically. So what do you think that Rasulullah said that it's just for you? That he was rahmatul lil alameen, subhanallah. He said from my blessed tongue, well, I stay then until qiyamah the Muslims that come, it will be easy for them as well. Subhanallah. Subhanallah. So what will it be that when the human being practices this prescription, then he will get the thawab, that Allah Ta'ala will give him the thawab of all the actions. Subhanallah, what a great thing he asked for. So this amal, when you do such an action, then be millions of times grateful to Allah. There were great rewards Allah you give to us by this one amal. Then don't be ungrateful at that time. Don't be ungrateful at that time then. So in other words, that amal that this sahabi asked for, whoever does it, like us in our era afterwards, all the amal that we are weak from doing, we can't do, he's asking the same that Allah, Ya Rasulullah, I want the same thawab. I want the thawab of tahajjud, of giving sadaqah, of awabeen, of hajj and umrah. I want the thawabs. All those people are doing those actions, I'm weak, I can't do them. But with that amal, I want all those thawab. Rasulullah smiled and said, okay, you will get them. What is that? He said, dhikrullah. Allah's remembrance. Allah's remembrance. Yes, look friends. Look here, that if a person after all of this explanation doesn't start doing dhikr, then what's happened to our brains, tell me? What's happened to our minds? Think for a few seconds. What's wrong with us? Will the angels come down to show us, hey, Jannah's here for the sake of Allah? Will they beg to us, do this for the sake of Allah? You want the angels to come and beg to you? Our hearts are like stones and rocks now. We don't want to leave the sins. We don't feel like leaving the sins. And we don't feel like doing good actions. Yes, we, for example, if there are so many sins and we're grinding away during Ramadan and sinning upon sinning, we're not leaving the sins. We're not leaving the sins. Our eye sins, the sins of music and singing. We don't make our face according to the sunnah. We don't do the actions that are Allah's rada pleasure. Oh, we're just fasting, hungry and thirsty. What sort of fast is this? Fasting, the definition of fasting is leaving the sins and doing good deeds. That's the definition of fasting. Do you understand what I'm saying? Do you understand what I'm saying? So this is what we need to do. The guarantee, how great is it? Allah. Salamtu. The past, your fast, the Ramadan will pass with safety, security and well-being. Whoever has left the sins has done good actions. And he says, Allah says, you've made me pleased now. Now, inshallah, the rest of the time, the rest of the year, and the years that will come in your life, then Allah will give you the tawfiq to practice those deeds. So my brothers, dhikrullah, grab hold of it. Take hold of it. Do dhikrullah. Remember Allah. Such an easy action. This hadith in Sahih al-Bukhari, that it's light on the tongue and all the actions that will be weighed, it will be the heaviest. Then what a great action is dhikrullah. Light on the tongue, light on the body, but heaviest on the scale. Easiest action. What is that? Dhikrullah. Subhanallah. Say Allah. Just say Allah. Say Allah. Say Allah. How long did it take? Say Subhanallah. Subhanallah. Say Subhanallah. Subhanallah. Jannah, a tree for you in paradise. I swear by Allah, this is hadith. In your paradise, there's a tree. There's a tree for you. So if there's a tree grown for you in paradise, then will you not go to paradise? Obviously you will. So you're jannati. Just by saying one word, you've praised Allah. Subhanallah. So Allah says a tree has been rooted for you in paradise. In other words, Jannah is yours. Because if the tree is yours, then obviously paradise is yours. So this is subhanallah. That if you go properly and learn dhikr from a sheikh, yes, a doctor, Allah seated his doctors in the world. If you find a doctor, sheikh, and say, sheikh, teach me dhikr, I'll teach you such dhikr, that your heart automatically will continue saying, Allah, Allah, Allah. By saying once Allah, if the tree is planted for you, then if all the time your heart is saying, Allah, 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 then imagine what will be planted for you in paradise. That's why I stated, most of all on the day of judgment, those people whose status will be the highest will be the dhakireen, those who do dhikr on the earth. Most of all will be those people, highest status, the dhakirin, they'll get the highest status on the day of judgment. Because their jannah was being manufactured on earth from their hearts, they were saying Allah. But a person gets lazy. Look at that sahabi, remember him. He said, I will do it regularly, he said. I will do it regularly. So think yourselves now. How simple it is to earn jannah. And how high a maqam that if you say subhanallah once, then what do you earn? The mizan, your scale is full. Your scale. Subhanallah, you say it. Subhanallah. Tree planted for you in paradise. Tell me. Tell me. You say Allah. Allah says you've called me. Then I will also call you. Fadhkuruni adhkurkum. Quran guarantees. Allah says, I call you. I'll call you. Oh, you so and so. So and so. It means I'm calling you. Allah says, I'll call you. I'm calling you, Allah says. So, it's your choice if you reply to me. But Allah Ta'ala says that you, if you're in the mountains, in the cave of the mountains, if you go into the crust of the earth, didn't Yunus alayhi salam call out to Allah in the ocean? In the darkness, within the depths of the ocean, in the stomach of the whale, the fish, he went in there in that darkness, said, La ilaha illa anta subhanaka Allah, save me, I did dhulam. Soon he said, Allah, Allah said, I'm here close to you, I save you. Subhanallah. So wherever you go, to the darkest of the places in the universe and say, Allah, Allah, say, فَذْكُرُونِي أَذْكُرُمْ I'm remembering you. If you remember you on the earth, I'll remember you in the heavens. Subhanallah. Is there any thawab that can equate to dhikr and we can't even do dhikr? Then at least can't you do this? That close your eyes and go and sit next to a sheikh, a friend of Allah, and do the dhikrullah. Can't you become regular in this? Can't I do this? Can't I do this? So think for yourselves, where will we go? Such an easy formula Rasulullah has given to us. Then in our destiny, do we want to guarantee and ride Jahannam? That we want to celebrate Ramadan with sins? We want to fast with the sins? We don't want to ask, is this a sin or not, or thawab? We're following the deen according to our desires. What deen is this you're following? At least in your mind, if there's something knocking in your brains, and Ramadan comes, then go and ask someone, is this right or wrong what I'm doing? Is this loud or not allowed? We can't even ask. If we ask, we're scared. If he says, no, you can't do this, then we'll have to leave it. We're scared. In other words, Jahannam will say, let Jahannam come, even if it's Ramadan, but let me go into Jahannam. Maybe after Ramadan I'll pass away and janazah will be raised. Then where will we go then? Allah will say, the angels will hit you, you foolish man. You were given Ramadan, you didn't have the tawfiq to leave the sins. At least to improve your face, appearance. Corrected. At least you could have corrected your tongue and your eyesight and your gaze. Ramadan, fighting, quarreling, swearing, disputes, quarrels. Normal days you're, just like normal days you're passing Ramadan. You're taking Ramadan easy? Easy, you're relaxing? During Ramadan, can there be a person? Are we human beings? Are we really human beings? Extremely important phase of Ramadan we're in now. So what we need to do, it's necessary for us that totally, 100%, we grab hold of dhikrullah kathir. Kathira, don't worship the desires, close your eyes, and be millions of times grateful over that which masjid is there, maraqaba, morning and evening, which masjid, I guarantee you. The qiyamah, we are in the era close to qiyamah, we won't find dhikr. If you get dhikr in a masjid, after some days you won't even get that. It's written, yes, on the computer, it's recorded, look on the computer, search how many masjids are there that do dhikrullah morning and evening, search. Tell me the quantity. No, there's none, but we are so wretched and unfortunate that this halaqah, thawab, how much thawab there is. In Ramadan, the reward of this gathering of dhikr, Rasulullah himself said that do dhikrullah. Halaqah is this gathering. Whenever you sit to do dhikr, sit in the halaqah. Someone's in that corner, someone's at the back. Don't you have akal? How many times I've told you, don't you have adab and manners, you people? I don't understand. And then we're looking at each other. Shall I get up? Shall I move forward? He's looking at the back. He's looking at his face. Are we foolish and stupid? So much better to be in disrespect. We don't have manners. At least learn the manners, that when you sit in the gatherings of dhikr, there's manners and adab. You understand how much mazah and enjoyment there is now in dhikr. Someone's in that corner, in that corner, in this corner. 10 years you've been doing dhikrullah, you don't know the manners. Whenever you sit with me in dhikr, then don't leave gaps in between yourselves. Remember this. Sit together, glue yourself together, so each other, the love and the muhabbat and the rahmah comes inside you. The fairs, the sheikh's fairs is transferred to you. Thus, halqa dhikr, this is a gathering of dhikr. In the hadith, the halqa word is used. Not one's at the back and there's a speech and you're in that corner and one's at that corner. And Mulana Sahib Takreen, he's listening to the lecture, he's reading Quran and he's reading Quran. Beware, how dare you. All fairs will stop if you don't do it. That's why it's announced, dhikr of Allah is happening. Be tawajjuh, focus, attention. Because Allah's paying attention to you. So focus, leave nafal, leave ibadah, leave all your other actions and come to the halaqah, the gathering of dhikr, and include yourself, join the gathering in which Allah's rahmah is descending. But takabbur, our pride is so much, we are ghurur. Pride and nafs is so fat, I speak honest and truth. My friends, I'm a fakir. I speak honestly. Nafs is so fat and big, we don't want to leave our station and place. Even if Allah's rahmas go, let them go, we say. Allah's rahmas disappear, we don't care. Let the time go, where the thawab goes. When an insan, human being, when he sits in the halaqah zikr, from all four sides, the angels surround that gathering. Allah's rahmas surrounds that gathering. Sakina descends on that gathering. Then why will that person who's sitting far away from the gathering, he doesn't care about dhikr so much, takabbur and pride? And your dirty akal, that despite the dhikr of Allah is happening in front of you, don't say that. I see people in the morning, he sat in that corner, someone's leaning against the wall. Don't do this, otherwise I'll expel you from the majlis. This is a final warning I'm giving you. The people who don't sit in the halaqah, I will tell him, Mohsin, take him out from here. Don't come to this gathering, don't come to our masjid. How many times have I told you this point? Don't do this action. Bi'adab insan never achieves anything. Sit together, stick yourself together, glue together, no gap between, and just little bit of distance with the sheikh. Don't jump on top of the sheikh. Little bit of a gap. Yeah, little bit of a gap, little bit of distance. But you sit together, no gap between. Whoever fills the spaces, he will get more. He will get more. He'll have yaqeen, rahmah will come on me, fadl will come on me. The person on this chair, put your chair to the side. Don't sit in front. And so you can get the fares as well. When you sit together, glue yourself together, join together and sit in front of your sheikh, fares will come, you'll get mazah in his words, in his discussion, rahmah will be more, maghfirah more, and you'll be included in that halaqah. You're doing takabbur with Allah and opposing Allah and gharoor Allah. That's one point. So my brothers, all of these points are for dhikr. For dhikr, have extreme manners. Extreme. The one who has manners, he gets good destiny. Who has no manners, he has no destiny. He is wretched. Whoever comes, when you come to the gathering of Allah, come as a beggar. You come as a beggar. Whoever comes. Mujaddad al-Aftani, the king of his time, used to come. Jahangir. Rahmatullah alayhi. Because he did great work of the deen. He was the king of his time. Not like the kings today. He had pomp and glory, elephants with him, horses, thousands of people walking with him. That was the king, the glory, the status of that time. When he came to meet, was he knew Mujaddad al-Thani. Here dhikr is happening. Dhakri, 2 miles in advance he would walk, he'd get off his transport. He'd come off his horse. He said, I'm going to that place, the Wali Allah's court where Allah Ta'ala's rahmat descends. Only the one who has manners will achieve and succeed. I have to go with the manners. And that's how we approach the gathering. There's a way of sitting, the tariqah, the method. So this is the amal, dhikrullah, that Allah has prescribed to us in Ramadan. So these amal, when we bring them into our life, inshallah, this amal, this action of dhikr, then the rest of the year, it will be with us. So with the fadl of Allah, with the grace of Allah, we are about to do this amal now, dhikrullah, and between Asr and Maghrib, which is the greatest time for dhikrullah. Greatest time. So this is also Allah's rahmah, Allah's fadl and his karam, that Allah Ta'ala has set us down for dhikr. So now we will do dhikr. Inshallah, recite the rushni.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. As-salatu was-salamu ala Sayyidina Mursaleen. Shafi'in muzlumin. Ta'awa yazin. Al-Habibun Ameen. اللهم صل على سيدنا مولانا محمد النبي الأمي وأزواجه أمهات المؤمنين وذرياته وأهل بيته كما صليت على آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد وسلم تسليما دائما أبدا كثيرا 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 اللهم اغفر لنا ذنوبنا وظلمنا وهزلنا وجدنا وخطأنا وعمدنا كل ذلك عندنا اللهم ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب يا مصرف القلوب صرف قلوبنا على طاعتك اللهم ثبتنا على الإيمان وأمتنا على الإيمان وأشرنا يوم القيامة مع الإيمان اللهم اهدنا الصراط المستقيم اللهم اهدنا الصراط المستقيم اللهم اهدنا الصراط المستقيم اللهم استعبنا بسنته ونفعنا بمحبته وأشرنا في زمرته يا كريم يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك نستغيث اللهم أعنا على غمرات الموت وسكرات الموت اللهم أعنا على غمرات الموت وسكرات الموت اللهم حاسبنا حسابا يسيرا اللهم حاسبنا حسابا يسيرا اللهم حاسبنا حسابا يسيرا يا قاضي الحاجات اقض حاجاتنا يا دافي البليات ادفع بلياتنا يا شافي الأمراض اشف مرازنا اللهم عافنا في بدني اللهم عافنا في سمي اللهم عافنا في بصري ربنا هب لنا من ازواجنا وذرياتنا قرة اعين واجعلنا للمتقين اماما اللهم رب ارحمهما كما ربياني صغيرا اللهم رب ارحمهما كما ربياني صغيرا يا الله ہمارے ماں باپ کو بخش دے يا الله ہمارے ماں باپ کو بخش دے يا الله ہمارے ماں باپ کو بخش دے اللهم رب ارحمهما كما ربياني صغيرا اللهم اغفر لنا ولوالدينا واستاذينا ومشايخنا وجميع المؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات الاحياء منهم والاموات برحمتك يا ارحم الراحمين سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون والسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين آمين.